Blog Talk Radio.
Problems, Lord. May we praise your name, Lord, our Father in heaven. Lord, we praise you for the good you do for us each day and for the light you will shed one day on everything on earth. To the glory of your name, and we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Okay, let's play some music here.
Thank you. My joy and all, He is my rest. telling me that you're struggling. I just don't know if that's such a bad thing. No, 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 but you say, Lord, I'm like a flickering wick, I'm like a broken reed, I'm like a ship storm tossed and rocked upon the sea, I'm like a mountain torn in two by an earthquake. I look inside and all I see is just this heartache. So my soul keeps crying from the crucible, fighting through this night like Jacob did at Peniel. I'm struggling, oh God, can't you see that I'm struggling? You keep telling me that you're struggling. I just don't know if that's such a bad thing. No, 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 but you keep telling me that you're struggling. I just don't know if that's such a bad thing. No, 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 you see, child, every good thing is born of a struggle, singing. Every good thing is born of a struggle. Every truly good thing is born of a struggle, my child. Every good thing is born of a struggle, singing. Every good thing is born of a struggle. Every truly good thing is born of a struggle, my child. My child, I wouldn't leave you in this heartache if it was all for nothing. Wouldn't leave you in this struggle if I didn't see something being born in you. So beautiful and so true, like a statue of David chiseled away and never fading. There's a new child rising, new life shining in your face, in your pain, in your everything. If you only knew, child, what I see in you, child, I think you'd want it too. But I'm proud of you, child, as you struggle through. Yes, I'm proud of you, child, as you struggle through. Yeah! Remember, every good thing is born of a struggle, singing. Every good thing is born of a struggle. Every truly good thing is born of a struggle, my child. My child. Every good thing is born of a struggle, singing. Every good thing is born of a struggle. Every truly good thing is born of a struggle, my child. My child, I keep on struggling. Cause I just don't know now that's such a bad thing. No, no, no. Well, I guess I'll keep on struggling. Cause I just don't know now that's such a bad thing. No, 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 I'm scared. Do you ever mean to hurt me? Cause it's too much now to bear. You know I believe it all.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Amen. Well, we're gonna go into the sermon now. It's how to know that you are saved. And I'm taking it from Romans chapter 3, verse 10. The tragedy of Christian faith is that the vast majority of those who say they are born again have never discovered the how-tos of living their life to the fullest capabilities. For many, the Christian life has very little excitement, and the abundant and victorious experience is never fully discovered. Instead of claiming that you have your fire insurance in the future in event of your death, you need to allow the flames of the Holy Spirit to burn daily in your life as a radiant witness for Jesus Christ. God's original plan and design for your life was not just barely make it into heaven. His desire for you is to live the fullest each and every day, and an abundant life characterized by obedience should be identifying the birthmark of a Christian. The message could be described as the how-tos of a Christian life. The first and foremost lesson is how to know that you are saved. This is probably one of the most important truths that a person can ever realize in his life, to know that he is a child of God. To know beyond a shadow of doubt, every person desires to know where they are going to spend eternity when they die. Witnessing believers ask people, if you were to die today, do you really know where you would spend your eternity? Some common responses are, well, I'm really just not sure. or I think I'm going to heaven, or I sure want to go to heaven, or I don't think that anybody can really know. The truth is that the Bible has told you that you can know God wants you to know, or wants you to know as you read this message. He wants others to know as you come into contact with them. The greatest truth in all of life is to know worthy that an individual is going to spend eternity. You see, when life is over, it makes no difference how much you have gained materially, as you aren't going to take anything with you. The most important decision in all of life is going to be made right here and now during this life. And that decision is going to be what you did with Jesus Christ. About 50% of all the decisions made for salvation in Billy Graham's Crusades were made by people who already had their names on a church membership. They were already members of a church somewhere, but these people were coming to trust Christ for the very first time. They were establishing a personal relationship with Jesus and not a proper religion. God wants to affirm in your life and confirm your testimony as a child of God that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why you can know and the reason why you are saved in the first place is because of the grace of God. It's by the grace, the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus, who comes into your heart and into your life, who saves you from your sin nature and gives you the personal relationship with Him. You need to understand that grace which is available to you and to others is because of God's amazing grace that you are able to look forward to being in heaven with Him someday. How to know that you are saved is the most tremendous truth any individual can ever acquire in his life. There are 5 very simple principles in how to know that you are saved. Everyone needs to be saved. Would you agree with that? That everyone needs to be saved? In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If there was ever a point in history when the gospel needed to flourish, it is today. You're living in a society that is loose and free, a society that says, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. Don't regard morals, don't regard ethics, don't regard those things in life that are good and righteous and holy in the sight of God. And you live in a day when each one is concerned about his rights and having the freedom to do basically what he pleases. But when you became a Christian, you gave up all those rights. You no longer have rights for yourself. You traded your rights for his rights. You turned your relationship of your rights over to the higher authority. And though you may lose your rights, you gain his rights. When you live a lifestyle that is approved by him, all rights in the world will never be threatened. The truth is, everyone needs to be saved, and it's true in Jesus' day, and Jesus saw that. When Jesus walked here on earth, he saw that every man and every woman and every young person needed to know about the love of his Father in heaven. Think about the scriptures that tell you the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. A young man came to Jesus, and it was quite obvious that he had heard about Jesus long before he ever came to town. He'd been looking forward to the arrival of Jesus because he had heard that Jesus was speaking about eternal life. Now, this rich young ruler had everything that money could buy. He had wealth, he had fame, he had fortune, and he was probably handsome. And he knew that anything of this life he could probably purchase. But he heard about the eternal life that Jesus was talking about, and he wanted to secure his eternal life as well. He knew one day Jesus would come to his town, and he would approach him on this subject. The Bible says that when he saw Jesus approaching, he literally went running to Jesus. As soon as he reached him, he fell at his feet and bowed before Jesus. He came to Jesus, he got on his knees, he looked at him, and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, there are 2 key words in this passage, the word good and the word inherit. The word good is implying not the fact that Jesus and God were good, but in his mind, he thought that a good man was able to be saved because he lived a good life. A lot of people think like that, don't they? Not long ago, a man was asked by his friends, if you were to stand before the gates of heaven and Jesus were to answer the door and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? And he answered, well, I would tell Jesus that I did my very best and that I lived a good life. The friend said, do you honestly believe that you could live a good life and still be accepted into heaven? I require perfection, he says. But nobody is perfect, the friend replied. That's right, nobody's perfect, but there was one who left the splendor of heaven, threw off the robes of royalty, and came and dwelt among men and lived in a perfect life and became the perfect sacrifice for a perfect God to fulfill the sacrifice of God for salvation. Therefore, Jesus was not just a good man. He was the Son of God. He was perfect in every area of life. He had never sinned. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, when you turn from your sin nature and turn your life over to Jesus, then when God looks at you, he no longer sees you. He sees his Son, Jesus, who was the perfect sacrifice and took your place for your sin on the cross. Remember, the young ruler came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's strange because, of course, Jesus always deals with the question, and he dealt with that goodness question when he told him, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. But again, Jesus read the mind of the young man, and he knew that his implication was not of goodness of God, but on the goodness of his own life, because he answered accordingly. So Jesus said unto him, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these I have observed from my youth. Of course, Jesus knew that. Isn't it amazing that his thought process, Jesus looked at him and said, one thing thou lackest is not 10 things, not 100 things, but one thing thou lackest. It isn't usually one thing that a person lacks of walking close to the Lord Jesus. It's usually one major thing that keeps him from making the eternal decision, Jesus said. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. The Bible says, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The one thing that kept the ruler from being saved was the fact that material possessions were more important than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The truth is, everyone needs to be saved. It was true in Jesus' day, and it's true as well in this day. There needs to be a spiritual revolution. Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and yet not every person is saved. They say that in this day and time, there are fewer Christians than ever before in history. You can look around you and see there's more drug and alcohol addiction, there's more suicide in the country, more than any other time in our history. But you know what? As dim as the future looks to some, you need to look and see beyond to the fields of harvest. They are white unto harvest. God needs people who are willing to have a vision, to realize that every person needs to be saved and take the glorious hope and glorious grace and share it with the lost and reeling world. The first principle of knowing that you're saved is that everyone needs to be saved. Amen? And secondly, everyone who needs to be saved can be saved. Aren't you glad for that? Everyone who needs to be saved can be saved. Understand this. Man is a sinner by nature. Psalms chapter 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Man is a sinner by practice. You know that quite well, don't you? In John chapter 3, verse 19, in this condemnation the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Man is a sinner by choice. John chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to be condemned the world, but the world through him might be saved. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. So man is a sinner by nature. He's a sinner by practice, and he's a sinner by choice. You see, either you choose for God or you choose against God. It's kind of like an election. God votes for you, the devil votes against you. But how you vote determines the election. The truth is everyone who needs to be saved can be saved. This is one of the most important truths ever discovered as a child of God. But regardless how bad a person may be or appear to be, everyone needs to be saved can be saved. In fact, there's no person on the face of the earth who is so great a sinner that Jesus Christ cannot save. You may be thinking of some individual and feel there's not any way God could ever save them. Listen, God died for all on the cross. God cares about all, and he died for all. So anyone who is willing to make the choice and decide against the things of the devil and choose God, that door is always open to them. Anytime a person opens his heart and his life and invites Jesus to come in, the Bible says Jesus will come in. And everyone who needs to be saved can be saved. Now, thirdly, everyone who professes to be saved is not saved. You can turn on your radio and television today and you can hear a dozen different ways on how to be saved. But there's one way according to the Bible. There's only one way for the man to truly come to know Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that he becomes a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or a Catholic or a member of the Church of Christ. It means that he has established a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has repented of his sin. He has personally invited Jesus to come into his heart or life to save him from his sin. Everyone who professes to be saved is not saved. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied and preached in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What a terrible day that's going to be. What a disappointing day. There's a lot of people who are banking on their church attendance, church membership, baptismal certificate, and their good works. Or maybe they're depending on their financial giving, thinking that's going to be enough to get them into heaven. There are lots of people who think that if you just live a good life, that one day you stand before God, it's going to be like a massive scale, and Jesus is going to put all your good works on one side and all your bad works on the other. And if the good outweighs the bad, then you get into heaven. If the bad outweighs the good, then you get to go to hell. Listen, you need to keep something in mind. Good people do not go to heaven, and bad people do not go to hell. Save people, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they go to heaven. People who have rejected Jesus Christ go to hell. That's God's plan. That's God's method. And it's simple to the point, and he says even a child can understand. The Bible says everyone who professes to be saved is not saved. Yet, here is a very important principle. It is not important that you remember a time or day or date, but every person must have a place that he can go where he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has personally met Jesus Christ, knowing the place is different. It's like skating or your physical birthplace. You can tell where you were born. Jesus likens your spiritual birth to your physical birth, and he said you must be born again. You are born of water and be born of the Spirit. And it is just as important, more so, to know that you have a place where you can go where personally invited Jesus to come into your heart to save you from your sin nature. Now ask yourself right now, do I have a place? Is there a place where you can go that's a place where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that's where you met Jesus? The Bible's requirement is that you are to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. From the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and because of that, Jesus comes based on your confession and faith. You're not saved by osmosis. You're not saved because you go to church all the time. You're saved because you have a personal faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. So everyone who is saved is saved the same way. In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to Jesus Christ or to God is through Jesus Christ. It's not good works. It's not giving your money. It's not trying to live a good life, is personally coming to him who died for you on the cross of Calvary and saying, Lord Jesus, I need you and I love you. So everyone who is saved the same way. Salvation is for all who commit their lives to Jesus. It's God's wondrous gift, and you must receive Jesus to be saved. And five, everyone who is saved can know he is saved. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written unto you, that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not hope so, not maybe so, not think so, not wish so, but that you may know that you have eternal life. That is the present tense, that you may know that you have eternal life now. Why? Because you have trusted in the name of the Son of God. Now you can see it's possible for you to know that you are saved. It is possible. When you have the personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's something that you will never forget. So what are the keys? Repentance. You must come and repent. Turn away from your sin nature. You must submit your needs for Jesus. You must be willing to turn from your sins and seek God's forgiveness. That's what the word repent means, to turn away from. Receive. You must receive Jesus personally into your heart and in your life. And a major result of repentance is change. A change that takes place in your life. A change that takes place in your heart. And that change may be gradual. It may be sudden. It may be a tremendous change. But change is the evidence of a person who really knows Jesus Christ. So have you experienced that change in your life? If you have, maybe you could help someone else to know where they're going to spend their eternity. Can you go to a place right now? Right now, take this time to sit down afresh and anew to thank the Lord Jesus for dying on the cross. God, to that place where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you personally met him. Thank him for that relationship. If you ever needed had a relationship, then take time to pray and invite Jesus to come into your heart to save you from your sin. And he will change your life. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed the sermon for tonight. Now we're going to get into the invitation. And that is, if you do not know Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, you can get to do so tonight. And you can do this by saying a simple little prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word, Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? If so, please call in at area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. So if you said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say may the Lord bless you and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay, we got some callers. Let's take some callers. 111.
Hello.
Hello, Pastor Ken. How you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored, my son. How are
you? That is very good to hear.
Doing? My son, how are you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored as well. Thanks for asking.
Has the covert hit the good people of San Antone?
Yes, we have a problem with it. Yes, but we are dealing with it.
How are you dealing with it, Kenny?
How am I dealing with it? Well, I'm staying away from people. Staying indoors. That type of thing.
Well, has anybody in your house gotten the covert?
No.
You know, it's funny, yet an interesting fact, that no bottom homosexuals have gotten the covert. Did you know that, Kenny?
No, I did not know that. Because as far as I know plenty of homosexuals here in San Antonio that have gotten the COVID.
But not the bottom ones, only the top ones.
I couldn't tell you on that.
I have proof, evidence, and lots of newspapers to back up my conclusions and reasonings.
Okay.
And I want to take... I also... want to say that I want to reach out to my servant, Mr. Willie Poon, who has reached out to me to bless him so that he may get lots more vagina like I do. So for that, I want to say, may your poon be plentiful, my son. And I also want to say that Doug has reached out to me as well, and I have helped him so much, and I have cured him of the covert.
Okay.
And I want to say that he is welcome, my son.
Amen.
But Kenny, you do what you have to do to stay healthy and not get the COVID. If it means taking a little penis in the anus every now and then, so be it. It's okay, Kenny. I still love you. And
well,
my followers
you.
Still love you.
Amen.
You're welcome, my son. Let's take more callers, Kenny.
Okay, I'm going to take some more callers right now. Okay, 111. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Ken. This is Mike Hunt. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I had a couple things. You know, we probably shouldn't call Doug a midget, but, you know, I did have a couple comments. I don't know if you know this, but Doug is so short, he fell off a curb and nearly died. And Doug is so short that he saved a lot of money by living in a dollhouse. And Doug is so short that people can see his feet in his passport photo. And Doug is so short that he can exercise by using a staple to do pull-ups. And, you know, Doug worked, he's so short, he worked for Santa. And, you know, there's a lot of information about Doug, and I think everybody needs an update, so here it is. When Doug was young, he hated school. The other kids made fun of him because he wasn't cool. They tried to drown him in the pool. Even the teachers called him a midget. They were very cruel. So he hung out in the barn with the cow and the mule. Doug likes to sit underneath the donkey on a stool. From that angle, he has access to the family jewels. Then Doug swallows it all. He doesn't even drool. This has been a Douglas Sidney Kosoff update.
Amen. That
Amen.
Was very good, Mike.
Amen to that, my sons.
Amen. Okay, we got another 111 caller. Let's take that. Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Pastor Ken?
I'm well, and thanks for asking.
Well, that's good. I'm curious about something related to God, and my question, I guess, for you is, do you think God is sovereign, or do you think we have free will, and why?
I believe God is sovereign.
You believe God is sovereign? So
yeah.
Does that necessarily mean that man will find his way to God naturally, or do you think like you can be truly born again if God is sovereign?
Yes, you can be truly born again.
Okay, interesting. What do you think of John 11, by the way? I think an interesting verse in regards to this. This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son may be glorified through it. John 11:4, I believe. I find that to be an interesting verse. It's about Lazarus. You know the story of Lazarus?
Yes, I know the story of Lazarus.
What's it about exactly again? I'm trying to
Lazarus, okay, went to hell, okay, and he wanted a drink of water, okay. And he said he would take it from the finger, okay, a drop of water to ease his thirst. And that's basically what the story of Lazarus was all about, okay, how hell is so bad.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think Jesus wept?
Say what?
Why do you think Jesus wept?
Why do you think he wept? He wept because of people not knowing him. Okay. He wanted to save as many as he could.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. I'm also curious, just one last question. What do you think of the Trinity? What to you is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And do you have any Bible verses that I can read in regards to the Trinity?
That's throughout the Bible, really. Okay, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's not any one particular verse I can point you to, okay, but... If you read the Bible, okay, it's there, okay?
Yes, of course. And I want to point out that there's somebody in your chat named Kosoff who's saying that this isn't real, and I completely disagree. I believe in God. I'm just asking questions because I'm very interested in theology, of course, and the Trinity is really an interesting subject for me, given the Council of Nicaea was so controversial during its time, but we really don't consider it that controversial anymore. Yes, of course. Thank you. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're so welcome, my brother.
All right, I'm going to let you take more callers.
All righty. Okay. Well, if you want to get in on this conversation, okay, please call area code 657-383-1487. Press the 1 key, you come on, and we can talk to you. So, Pastor Ken, are you still there?
My son, I am still here.
Okay, what do you think about the Trinity? What is your take on that?
I think it is good.
Well, of course it's good. You're a pastor. You should think it's good. I mean, it's the basis of the Bible, at least in the Christian faith as we know it in the West. And you said his name is. You said his name is Pastor Ken.
No, my son. I am Dr. Rabbi, leader of the flock, reverend, priest, monk, Kent.
How can you be all
Douglas
those titles?
Hopper.
That's a lot of titles. How can you be a rabbi and a priest at the same time?
My son, it is way above your brain capacity. Do not try to put 10 pounds of crap in a 2-pound bag, my son.
I find that very insulting. It's very upsetting. Do you think it's possible, Pastor Ken, to be a rabbi and a pastor at the same time?
Yeah, it's possible. You can be a rabbi and a pastor at the same time, okay?
Well,
I mean, look at some of your messianic pastors out there, okay? Some of
Kenny
the rabbis
was a pastor and a rabbi. Were you not, Kenny? Were you not?
What?
A pastor. Were you not a pastor and a rabbi?
Yes.
There you go. So who is this dipshit on the phone right now?
Oh, watch your language. Watch your language, Pastor Kent.
I'm sorry, Kenny.
I'm just an interested
sorry,
soul,
Kenny.
That's all. And I just wish that I just want spiritual answers and spiritual guidance. And I figured this would be a good place to call in. And Pastor Ken, what was some of the most profound experiences you've had in your life that has shaped you as a Christian?
Well, not sinning anymore, okay? Turning a blind eye to sin, okay? I believe that, okay, you know, as a Christian, we should not sin, and okay, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I get mad, and
amen.
You know. But you know we need to work on that.
Amen. And I know you talked a lot about forgiveness and repentance on your show, and I figured I would ask for repentance publicly for this. I've committed a sin recently, and it's not sitting well with me, and that's why I'm really, you know, really feeling shaky tonight.
Well, just ask God to forgive you of your sin, and He will do so.
I hope He does. You know, it's really hard when you get involved in sexual relationships with your family members, and what does God say about that?
If you look at the Old Testament, okay, people got involved with, okay, to recreate the world, okay, the Old Testament is the Old Testament, and now we live by the New, okay, so the New Testament is not encouraging on the fact of incest.
Amen. And do you have any personal experience with that, or are you speaking from your knowledge of the Bible?
I'm just speaking from the knowledge of the Bible. I don't have any personal.
There is incest in the Bible. There was lots of incest in the Bible. Without incest, you or I would not be here.
Amen. And I'm just curious, Pastor Kent, I think it is. In your personal relationships, have you ever truly loved a woman before? This is important for my own sanctuary, I guess. And who have you loved?
I have loved several women for their mind, body, and vagina. And they have loved me back. And I have loved them very, very hard, very, very long time. And I have profoundly and extensively showed them my big love, if you know what I mean.
I don't think I do. Your love for Christ?
My love is both emotional, spiritual, and physical. And I have shown it to them because I have loved them a lot. They scream Abba's name, and I have a big penis. It is huge.
Okay, Pastor Kent. We don't need to go into our bodies, okay?
We don't have to go into their bodies, but they like it when I do, Kenny. You're welcome, my son.
All righty. Well, let's play some more music here. Okay, and we'll come back with Pastor Kent, okay, and talk some more. Thank you. Into the prophetic word of the day. The Father says today, my love is the single prime mover in your life. Regardless of the people around you, the circumstances of your birth, you have to know that my love determines your future more than any other thing. This isn't about earning anything or being good enough. My love for you is unconditional and, in fact, was fully poured out on your behalf before the foundation of the world was laid. Before you had an opportunity to disqualify yourself or to attempt to measure up to any expectation you think I have, before all of this, love gave all for you and to you in the interest of your existence, being an absolute reflection of the depth and height of everlasting love wherewith I love you. So luxuriate in my love today, regardless of what you may be facing. Know that my love originates from motivation in my heart, more resolute than the deepest hatred that the enemy has to destroy you. All the opposition coming against you from man or circumstances effortlessly swept away by the torrent of love that I pour out to you as renewed mercy each and every day. I challenge you to exhaust my love, for it is inexhaustible. I dare you to find out the fullest extent of my love today. Run today the course before you with a full, complete expectation that the love that I woke you with this morning will be the favor that will attend you as you lay your head to rest in the confidence that my promise holds you safe and assure you outcome in life beyond the most extreme hopes. Amen. Well, that goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. So, Uncle Tony, why don't you call in tonight and say hello? There's no more callers right now. We just have Pastor Kent here on the line still. Pastor Kent, are you still there?
Hello.
Well, hello.
Kenny.
How you doing?
Where is Uncle Tony?
I don't know. He hasn't called in yet. No, you don't have to make the show about you, Uncle Tony. We just want to hear from you, okay? Everybody would like to hear from you, okay? Even myself. I mean, I want to hear from you how you're doing, what you've been doing, what you've got planned for the future, okay? Just call in, Uncle T. Yeah.
How are you talking to him, Kenny?
Through the chat. He can hear me through the chat.
He can, eh?
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully this is Uncle T. Hello. Hello, you're on
the
air.
Hello, this is Uncle Tony. I'm gonna take up the ass. Oh.
No, it's not what Uncle Tony.
Definitely not Uncle Tony.
No. It was an impersonator.
Hello, this is Uncle Tony. I'm a fat son of a bitch. And I'm dating a woman. She's 75 years old. I laid on top of her and I flattened her like a pancake.
Okay, let's take another caller. Hello.
Hey, this is Pastor Beal. How are you, Pastor Ken?
I am fine, Pastor Beal. How are you doing?
I wish I could be saying I'm doing better, but unfortunately I'm getting death threats from Doug, and it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I just really hope you stop giving him a platform. That's all I'm calling in here to say. I'm not going to bust your balls about it, but I really don't think he's healthy for this show. And he's saying that he wants to rape my daughter and he wants to shoot me in the back of the head. It's not good stuff. It's not good stuff.
Oh, it's certainly not. That sounds horrible. If I were you, I'd get off the line immediately, stop playing games in the chat room and call the police. If you feel that threatened.
I'm not going to call the police,
Tony.
Well,
if you feel that threatened, you really
should.
It's probably
not serious.
Scared.
Tony F, please.
You sound scared.
For the love of God, let me speak.
Well, please speak.
See,
but you sound so scared, like a little baby crying in a corner. I'm scared for you. I'm scared for all the threats you're getting. Please stop harassing him, Kathok. You're going to make him cry. Please stop.
You're such a fucking ass. Excuse me, but you're such an ass. I hope you realize that. Like, I know I shouldn't be cussing like that, but you're just sitting here laughing at people getting death threats because you think it's hilarious.
Well, if you're getting
because
death threats,
like
call the police. Call the police. Don't
what
sit here
I have
about
on
about
a bunch
don't
of
sit here and whine
PMs.
About it like a little
He's
girl.
He's sending me this stuff on Discord PMs, and you're giving him a platform to continue
to
spew terrible
stuff. Oh, well, we're not on Discord. We're not on
all because
is,
you think
is,
he's on your side.
This is
what
talk radio.
What is no?
This
what
is
the positive benefit to having Doug on this show?
Not
if you
Discord.
Guys are Christian, so or at least you claim to be. I hope you are because it would be a terrible way to deal with this.
If you
I know,
you're sitting there and you're like, oh, my show just accepts everybody on, even those who insult God and tell other pastors that they want their daughter to get raped. That's terrible. And I know I'm not saying Ken is doing this.
I'm saying that you're
complicit in it.
You know what? If this is true, if you're so scared of Doug, call the police. What am I telling you wrong? I'm giving you good advice. If you're so scared of what's going on and these messages you're getting, call the popo.
I think Doug is a sad alcoholic who doesn't need to go to prison.
You're a white man. They will come.
They'll
answer your call, Karen.
I don't think Doug deserves to go to prison.
Well, then why are you airing all this stuff? The thing is telling you, take it and shut up. Quit telling us about it. If you don't want to get Doug in trouble, gosh.
Okay, hold on. Let's bring on Doug. He's here.
Oh, yay, Doug.
Hey, Doug, how you doing, my brother?
Hi, Doug.
See, this is what I mean. You're giving this dude a platform.
Well, I gave you one.
You give everybody a platform. Okay.
You've cut me off so many times before when I've asked 10 questions.
And wait till we start my new show. I'm really going to give y'all a platform. I want to hear from all of y'all.
Yeah, sure thing, Tony.
Peel. Shut up. You're a liar.
You need to stop messaging me on Discord, dude. You keep saying terrible things.
I don't do nothing with you. You're a liar.
Yes, you have. You absolutely have.
Oh, yeah. Keep lying.
Do you want me to get the Discord PMs? I will.
Make sure you pray to your God while you're making all these lies up.
I have
a man. Yeah. Make a log of all of it.
I legitimately think this show is a front for a bunch of atheists to insult the faith. I don't know if Ken knows that. But I think Farrar and you, Doug.
Hello, Mr. I Shoe Ropes Everywhere. That's insulting the faith. Oh,
amen.
Your dad shot
you
rope.
Have a dirty mind.
Both
you,
of them
you
all.
You and Farrar both have a dirty mind. That's what it comes down
you,
to. It.
You have a dirty
no.
mind.
You have a dirty mind.
No.
Yeah,
Coast
you do.
Has probably spent so much time in like strip clubs, dirty strip clubs, truck stops, sex stores.
I seriously doubt it.
I seriously
Sounds
think
like
you
have. I think you're projecting a little bit.
I'm not projecting in the slightest.
Oh,
I think
yes, you are.
I think you're so desperate.
Oh, well, hey, this is
a
full announcement. Hey, Tony Talk Show this Sunday is going to be dedicated to Doug. Bill, he'd like you to come in and be a co-host. Hey, this will be a show to watch.
I don't
to listen
want
to, guys.
To get any more guys, attention than what he's doing
in
right now.
Did you talk, Doug? Oh, this is a good one, Doug.
I'm not going
to you and Tony
talk
for an
Tony
entire hour and a half.
Doug.
Oh, I can't wait to see
the
hear
the
this
only
one.
Reason I've called in is because I'm getting death threats on Discord from him. I really don't care about Doug outside of the fact that he's wishing death upon my family. I hope you realize this. Like, it wouldn't bother me.
Obviously, you've got something going on with Doug because you're always bothered with him and always bothering him and stuff.
Shut your mouth, you cougar
brain. I don't know, maybe a little love, a little love connection. We'll find out, though, this Sunday on Tony Talk. Maybe there's a love connection between Doug and Beal.
What is up with Beal?
He doesn't like me because I said he was rotten Beal.
Sunday, 8 o'clock, I think.
Oh, Beal, you're in a homosexual relationship with this
Nobody
person.
Nobody asked me.
Homosexual relationship with this person. Oh, man. It's almost like you want to leave Ken and be with me because you think I'm more manly or something.
What about your wife, Beal? What would she say?
My wife and I are in a very...
And your kids, you know? Remember your kids? You know, the ones that
saying,
heard all the...
I think both of them.
They heard all the
both
YouTubes I sent
on.
You and stuff. Remember them,
no,
your
I
kids
think
and wife?
You have a crush on me. You know what? This is getting
I
nowhere.
Would like to crush you.
I'm chatting up a bunch
I would
of
like to crush you.
I'm
okay,
talking to
guys.
A bunch of mental majors who have
don't
no
forget.
Intention of talking in good faith. Goodbye.
Okay, this Thursday coming up is going to be another show at 8 o'clock. Okay, and I'm glad we got everybody here tonight. Okay, God bless you all.
No, your next show is Thursday night.
That's what I said, Thursday night.
Oh, I thought you said Sunday. I'm sorry.
Thursday night.
Good riddance.
Okay. Well, God, like I said, God bless y'all. Have a blessed night. Okay, and see you Thursday night. All right.
Doug is a midget.
Amen.
Well, that was a cute